just feel like I have a global obligation, but I have it on a person-to-person business. Like if someone said to me, what is your, like, you know, where does the universe want you, or God want you, or spirit want you, or whatever? This is the only way I can explain it, is I feel like I've been given the brain of a general, but honestly, where God wants me is on the front line. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm out there making that mark and making that difference and carving path, but I think like a general. That's the only way I can say it. It has been a journey. It has been, like, I felt the calling when I was 5. I remember standing on the sidewalk, looking at my house, which had some pretty funky, you know, childhood experiences going on. And I remember saying to myself, I want a different life. That's all I remember saying. And it has been a very different life.
Digital Audio Health by Symetrax. Courting Your Soul with Rhonda Grant.
Welcome to the show, Deborah. Deborah Drummond is an entrepreneur and top performer. Let the audience know a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and bring us up to today, basically.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for having me. It really, truly is an honor when someone asks you to, one, spend time with, and two, come spend time with you and your audience. So I appreciate that. Where I am right now is actually where this whole party started. I'm in Vancouver, Canada. Really, honestly, born in Vancouver General Hospital. It doesn't get any more Vancouver than that, you know, in Canada, because there is another Vancouver. I have two beautiful children, and my daughter, who is now 31, has gifted me with two babies. So I'm an official yaya. So just, you know, living my parental dream, and, you know, where it started. Oh my gosh. So as you know, and as you introduced me, I am what people consider an entrepreneur, which is, you know, kind of an entrepreneur that can't say no. Okay. but where it started really for me was, I would say my first career was in music and in the music industry, not singing other than in my living room really loudly, or the occasional party where, you know, maybe some people wanted me to not talk so loud or sing so loud, but music has been really like air to me. I think music's been my biggest therapist. And then I left that world, got a very clear download to leave that world per se, just a really clear message. And I went into holistic healing at a time where people didn't really understand about holistic healing. I didn't really understand about holistic healing, but I went to go get a muffin at a sugar-free bakery and saw a flyer, and it changed my life. And I fell in love with massage. And for 27 years, I worked on, you know, 30,000 clients, myself and my team, in all areas of everything holistic, and started building companies. I started building companies in my, you know, first year of business, went into distribution. You know, I created home party companies across the country. Really, I believe I'm mostly in the business of creating platforms for other people to extend themselves, either, you know, in exposure models, or probably more in economics, so that I create platforms that they can build themselves financially from. And as you know, I'm the founder of the 262 Project, which is birthed out of the Mission Accepted Media company that I have, that again creates platforms through books and speaking and quotes and just media opportunities. That's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so most people, if they were going to go into business to be a masseuse, but you branch it all out and have employees and do all sorts of different things to help other people. So what do you find in your background has helped you to be have an all-inclusive idea on top of the idea that you already have?
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting. And I love the title of your show for that. Really, I think it's well matched to my story, because, you know, people call me a professional hippie, Rhonda. And really, I love the name, and I think it's super cool. And I am a hippie. And the reason why they call me a professional hippie, I believe, is because I have this brain. It's like an engineering brain. Like, mm-hmm. when someone tells me about a project they're doing, I see it in like reverse engineering, and I see the strategic plans, and it's like I'm building a business. Sometimes I can't turn it off. So God-given, not sure, mostly creatives and visionaries don't have that ability, which is why people go talk to Deb. She makes wealthy healers, because as a visionary, which I am one, it's infrastructure and business plans and all those kind of things aren't necessarily the fun things we like to do. So one is, it's just ability that I did not have, but I have fostered. I have fallen in love with that part of me, because I know that by doubling down on that part of me, seeing things in that way allows for expansion. And that's really what I think I do. So I can't help it, and two, have fallen in love with it. And three, most of my businesses, it's interesting, I went and spoke at the CBWN in Alberta for International Women's Day 2 days before our event. And they're like, tell your story. And how did you have and build seven companies? And when I actually heard myself speak, which if you're a speaker, you'll know what that means. It was this download to this download to this download. Like I just sat there on my second day of taking a massage class. We needed money. I was, I had a wanted surprise. I was pregnant. It changed the trajectory of my life. I was on my way to go get a degree in women's studies and create, platforms in third world countries. And here I was, couldn't go to university and get my women's degree. The religious studies course, ironically, was canceled. And I found myself in a massage class due to a flyer that I found at a bakery. And I was like, we need money. And I took a piece of paper. My first business plan was a piece of paper. And I was like, if I do this many massages a week and I charge this much, and I do it on these days, we'll be able to pay this. That literally was my first business plan. And then it was like, well, if I can do that, then I can have someone else. And it just organically grew. And I have the inability to say no to myself.
Wonderful. That's a good quote.
Yeah, isn't it? Let's write that down. I have the inability to. Yeah, we're going to both write that down.
Right. To be afraid of yourself. Okay, so here's the thing. I always think about the person that's at home listening to this right now.
Yeah.
And what you just talked about would just be, would kind of explode in their head a little bit. Because as you know, there are people, it takes a lot of courage to do the things that you've done. And there are people who want to do many things, but they don't have the courage to do it. And one of the things that struck me is when you said, you were, unexpectedly pregnant or, and you had to change your life. And in changing your life or changing your strategy in life, you had to do that because you were called to do that based on the situation that you were in. But what it did, correct me if I'm wrong and speak to this, it made you hungry to provide.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It very much is, whether someone is hungry because their back is against the wall financially, mm-hmm. which was the situation then. I was like, okay, here we are. Mm-hmm. I'm a baby, you know what I mean? And so it makes you think differently. And sometimes we are in, situations where we realize we just can't go back to work that day. We realize the relationship we're in is not going to be long-term. We realize that our kids are going to need. I remember sitting and mm-hmm. getting some educational news about my son and some of the things that he's going to need to be successful in the arena of education. And I was like, that's going to cost a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? And so sometimes it comes to you. Sometimes we plan it for ourselves. But I think in there comes either hunger, like you said, mm-hmm. or a desire for something different. Or a desire for a different life. And it does take some courage, some bravery, some stepping out. I was talking to a woman who, I'm in a big stretch program right now, yes. What I'm doing is really stretching myself. Mm-hmm. She's also doing it. And we were talking the other day and I said, so how's it going? She's like, how's it going with you? And, we have that real conversation. And I said, what we are in is it's the stretch of significance. And I think, it is when you're trying to make a big impact or a big change in your life. Like, I needed to pay this. My son's schooling went from free to $32,000 a year. I was making like $60,000 at the time. That math doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So then you get into a stretch of what we call stretch of significance, where you have to become bigger. And it's not necessarily that you know how you're going to do it. You just put one foot in front of the other and plan the best you can, pray as much as you can, and then work with what happens, including every pivot, because there'll be some, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a mouthful. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And so when you come across people who have a hard time stepping into who they are, and I've seen you do this, do you remember back to those difficult times or those pivotal moments in your life where you may not have had the courage and you know what that feels like? And so you're able to transfer those skills and help that person who is overcome with fear of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to us about that, because there will be people right now that say, well, I'd love to do that, but I couldn't do that. I would be afraid to do that. I'm afraid of myself.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we're afraid of success as much as we are failure. Right. Mm-hmm. And so can you speak to that?
Sure. I mean, first of all, what I want to say is anyone that you see that's stepping into a bigger platform than you are, whatever that looks like. I mean, it doesn't have to be Oprah big. It can be your neighbor big. Do you know what I mean? So if anyone is doing something or you're inspired by a conversation that you're listening to, never assume that the person has not had to walk through the same thing that you're walking through. I have stood in front of 20,000 people on stage. I thought I was going to throw up before I walked out there. There's been times where I'm nervous when there's five people in the room. Sometimes that washover of fear or concern of inability can happen on any day, no matter what. It doesn't matter the size of the audience. I mean, of course, it makes it a little more obvious. But so there's fear. What makes someone walk through that fear, or what's made me walk through that fear, is two, a decision, and three, the impact that it'll make on others if I back off from that plan. So, right? So, I mean, if you, like, I had, honestly, I'm in a big project right now, and I had a very cool colleague this morning say to me, would you do it again? Would you do this again? And she knows the stretch, and you know the expansion, and you know the money it costs or the time it costs and whatever it is, right? Would you do it again? And she goes, maybe I should ask you that in June. I'm just like, sure, ask me that in June, right? I said, so I just think that sometimes we feel when we have our own, I don't know if I can do that, I don't know if I can step into that, I don't know, is get into relationship with yourself and know enough to know whether it is sabotage or not, whether it's fear or concern. A lot of times people go, I'm scared. I'm like, you're probably more concerned. I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
So sure. I just finished writing. So everyone thinks, like, when you're on stage, you know, you got your whole house in order and you have no fear. If you can organize something like this, there's nothing that bothers you. And that's not really true. So a colleague of mine was releasing a book, and you know me, it's a big proponent for me, if you're building your exposure model, to be in as many books as possible. She's like, I'm in a book, and you know, I'll go in your book and you go in my book. And I go, okay. And I said, what's your book about? And she says, it's about resilience. And so I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I had something pop to me, right? You should write about this. And so what I was told to write about, I'd never shared about. You know, I shared about it with people maybe in my earlier days or people that knew. But once I had children, it was not something I was going to share with them until they were a certain age. It was about domestic violence. And I got this message, share that you had this experience. And I was like, that's interesting. Now, I haven't shared about that unless someone privately needed me to do it. It's not been part of what I've brought forward in terms of my exposure. But I was like, okay. And I really, you know, so people see me here speaking for 20,000 people, da, da, da. They would never know the personal inside that I went in that process to do it. I waited to the very last day that I had to get it in that day. That was the cutoff date. I honor that commitment. I got up early that morning and I literally wrote everything that day sitting in a chair. I just wrote it all out. Now, I knew I wanted to wait till my children were old enough. It was not my children's father. And I put that in the book because I'm a public figure. And so I had to put that, okay, I don't want people to think. I had all these concerns. That's what I mean about concern. It wasn't fear or scared. It was concern. I'm concerned about what my kids would think. I'm concerned of what it'll do to my reputation. I'm concerned what people will think about me. Am I really scared? Like, Rhonda, if someone walked up to me and said, I will never talk to you again because you wrote that in that book, do you know what I would say to that person? I don't need to say it on air. So I'm not scared, but I was concerned. And those are two very different experiences. Concern can be worked out talking to your best friend. Concern can be worked out probably journaling or meditating. And then it got even better. So I go, okay, so I get this off to her. That's great. It's being produced. I'm in my own production right now. And I said, honey, when you need me, you let me know. When there's a group meeting so I can meet the other speakers, you let me know. And when the book comes to sale, I'm buying a couple of cases to support the project. That's what I can do for you. But right now I'm in this party. You do your party. She's like, cool. Then I get a message. Oh, hey, just to let you know, the book's going to be given away at the Emmys. I'm like, oh, would I have written that? Is that what I want to be given out to the celebrities at the Emmys? I was like, damn, I should have asked more questions. Or did I miss that email? And then I went through the process again. And I literally had to talk about it. And I talked about it with a couple of people. I'm like, I'm super nervous. I had to sit my son down and go, okay, look, there's something that happened before you were born that I needed to tell you that's just kind of probably going to hit the market. I'm giving you an example of concern, consideration, you know, plan, that kind of thing, versus I'm frozen solid. I can't move forward. To do it would debilitate me. That's a different, that's fear. But a lot of times we think concern is fear. Concern is still workable. It's pliable. Beautiful. It's movable. You can get through. If you're like, I can't eat and I'm not going to sleep if I do it, probably not the right time. And if it is, you need to do it with support. Go get a counselor, a business coach, walk through that concern or fear. Ask yourself that. And you know what's interesting? I've never put it like that. So someone needed to hear that. And I'm really glad that I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your message is your message. And I'm really pleased that you have done that. I remember just before I published my book, I was going to change the name to a pen name, my name to a pen name, because I was concerned that people might think differently about me because of my story and my background. Mm-hmm. And you know, about a month before it was ready to go to press, just one morning I realized, no, everybody needs to hear this and they need to know that this is my story. I mean, because if I want to write another book, then it's another charade and things like that. I think it takes some courage and guts to own your own material. And just to trust that you're doing this, you're doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for others who may not have discussed this type of thing. So it opens that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's, so I made that decision. So, you know, I really appreciate that you explain the difference between concern and what was the other one?
Well, fear. The fear.
It's fear, right? It's fear or concern.
Fear that I can't move. I am like, it encompasses everything. That's a different thing. I'm concerned. Most people, when I talk, and you know, you do coaching. So most people, when you're working with them and they're like, oh, I'm super scared. And I'm like, is it a concern? Like, can we work through it? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to need to go to therapy if you make this move in that, or is it going to, you know, gut every dollar you have, or, you know, like where are we on the scale? And most things are pliable. Most things are, you know, workable.
Well, yes. And when we talk about speaking, I mean, that's the platform that we're going to talk about next with you, because I want you to tell people the huge project that you've undertaken. But, you know, when other people see speakers speaking, they don't think that they're nervous at all, that this is just what they do. And they think they could never do it because they would be too nervous to do it, right? Yeah. So nervousness, preparedness, and nervousness is natural. And almost everyone, before they speak, they are nervous. They're very nervous. But sometimes when they get to the microphone, they're fine. Like for me, my process is I can't eat very much on that day. You know, I keep it light, and so that I am not thinking about digesting when I need to perform. Right. Mm-hmm. And so talk to the audience about what you're involved in right now, which I'm involved in with you, right?
Yeah.
And but you've brought a lot of people together, not only from Canada, but the US and other countries as well, in a huge celebration. So speak to us on that.
Yes. Well, you're 100% accurate on the perception of what goes on for a speaker, or people think that they're nervous just before they get up to speak. And a lot of times it does play in the back of our mind. We're going to present today. We want to present well. And there's really some really high, powerful, sure tactics to decrease yourself to a level amount of excitement before you get on the stage. So for me, I get on the balcony and I do a big prayer and I'm like, just let me say something that someone needs to hear. That's all. I know what I'm supposed to say. I've got it written out. I've got stickies around my computer. I've practiced it in the mirror, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? Or I have someone interview me. Like for me, I'm getting interviewed on all these summits. Why? Because I'm holding container space for all the other speakers, right? So I'm like, oh, just interview me. It's, you know, I don't have to want to think about that. So there's many ways around that. So if someone's like, I would love to speak, but I don't know if I can. Yeah, you can. There's so many secrets and techniques in the back end that it really is doing nothing different than being on right now. And that's why we are live online as well. You know what I mean? Where you're not standing in front of an audience, even though our audience is large. Mm. The project that we're talking about right now is called the Stand Up, Speak Up and Show Up. Yes, you, which is why I added the yes, you, because you have people on this side going, I'm not dun, 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 dun yet. I'm not as good as her. I'm not as experienced as her. I don't have the dots behind my name. I don't whatever. And that's just not accurate information. And then I also have yes, you, where we've got the mavens and the crones that have been doing this a long time, like me and you. And we're like, just let the next generation come in and do it. Just like, you know, I'm like, get your butt back on that stage and share your wisdom, girlfriend. So this project happens to be for women. And it is a remembrance of International Women's Day. And I say remembrance quite importantly, because International Women's Day, the message that I got was that it has kind of turned into, not in all countries, but kind of turned into a bit of a Facebook posting day. You know what I mean? There's something you might do that day. Maybe you go pop onto a summit. Maybe you do that. But it is a huge day. It is a day that symbolizes, you know, freedom and equality and importance and significance for women internationally. And the most important word about that day is solidarity. And many times, even myself included, years past, there isn't marches going down the street anymore. There isn't petitions to sign. You know, I love this because Gloria Allred will say, you know, they say that, you know, we got given the right to vote. And she's like, we always had the right to vote. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, all these
permission to vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we have them, but when we wake up in the morning, for the most part, we do the same thing we did the day before. For the most part, we don't feel the power. We don't feel the solidarity. And so what got created was alongside a book of self-funding women, 262 of them actually, putting their words and their gumption and their messages to women and sharing about themselves personally and what they do also to serve the world, their personal and their business, was this big summit series of 22 summits. And on the eighth day of every single month, an array of incredible, diverse speakers will share their message, their passion, their projects, their nonprofits, their profits, and what they've learned about life. And they share that for everyone to come to. And it is a free world global access, which is really important when you're trying to create people to come together in solidarity. You want to remove all barriers. So all the barriers for most women come down to money and time. So we have these summits on numerous events. So they can come when it works. They can pop on and off. And, you know, because a woman will sometimes think, oh, you know, I'm not free that day. So I don't want to pay the da, 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 because it doesn't justify in her mind. And we're like, I don't care. Come on for 10 minutes, leave, come back for half an hour. Do you on any of these days? And so it's just been a big, really big global accessibility to women. And we are from Kenya to Canada. So there is women from all over the world, time zones. You know, we do meetings for speakers and we have to pick two different time zones, right? We're from Kenya to Australia in this project. And you know what? I don't say this because it's a real fun number to say. And it is a fun number to say, I'm going to tell you, but this shows you how much demand there was for a sense of solidarity. 37 million media impressions this project has had. And we've had over 4,000 women attend, women and those that support women. So it's like, you know, yeah. Men can come too, but it's just, it's got that women supporting energy. That's really telling. I mean, yes, we're good at marketing, but you can only be good at marketing if what you have is good to be marketed. And so there has been a thirst for women to come together in a sense of solidarity, which is why we did summits after summits after summits after summits. And we now are going to continue. We were doing a wrap up May 11th, but we are going to continue with four summits a year, double days for all time zones, because women want to be heard and women want to hear women. They want to relate to women. So that's the project. It's a big project. There's probably 400, 500 people behind the curtain, and our impact is upwards of 350 million.
Yes. And so a curiosity here for the people who are listening, are going to wonder, what do you mean 262? What does that mean? So can you take us back to what was going on with you when you developed this? Because people, you know, you're going to talk about intuitions and things like that. And people really need to know, how did you create this? Where were the messages coming from?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the interesting thing. I was in business before Google. And I was running the massage. You know, I had a holistic health center. You know, I was working out of a woman's day book. Gorgeous. Beautiful black and white pictures. Fantastic. And it went out of print. So I went to a number of bookstores to get my next year's planner. And if you use planners, you know what I mean, when you're attached to one that works. And it was out of print. And I said in my glorious moment, I'm going to make one of these one day. Now, I was in the holistic health industry. I was not in media, and I sure in heck wasn't in publication. So 31 years later, probably about 25 years later, the first year where we had our World Global Health Concern, I was walking by myself across the bridge in Vancouver, and I heard the words, "It's time," scream so loud that it actually shook me in the middle of the bridge. At this very desk I'm talking to you today, just weeks after that, I picked up the phone and I called my publicist and I said, you know, this women's book I've been talking about, the one with the black and white pictures that I've wanted to do. She's like, oh, yes, I've heard, yes, I do know it. I said, it's time. And she's like, glory, hallelujah. Now, we had just come off a run of an incredible book of 22 women and five couples in a business sector. My books tend to lean in the business sector. And it was incredible. Like, Rhonda, we had 140 million media impressions and we were number one for 5 weeks on Amazon and blah, blah, blah. And we were all, of course, she was like, yeah, that sounds good, because we were in a good place. She goes, how many women do you want? I'm like, I don't know. I'll just pray tonight, meditate, and I'll let you know tomorrow. Like, literally, I didn't give it much thought. You know, I didn't go and study a number or whatever. I just prayed, okay, how many people need to be in this book? And the next day I heard 262 and I was like, you're out of your mind. I'm not doing that. We just came out of a book of 20. No, I'm supposed to be doing a marathon in Ireland. No, I don't have time for this. It was the first year of this health crisis. We were all like, So then I prayed and meditated the next night. The next day I heard 263. Like, one, wrong direction. And two, I took it as a sign. My girlfriend was in the middle of transitioning to the other side, like, you know, my best friend of all life. And so I thought, okay, I'll make sure I put Deb in the book, which I would have anyways. So I'm like, come on, get it together. We need to know how many people. Now I'm ready. Let's go. That's my personality, as you probably figured out. So the next day I go to text my girlfriend, how are you? And 262 comes across my phone. I contact my publisher and I go, 262. She goes, yeah, not happening. I said, I've already been fighting for 3 days. Get ready. Let's go. Honestly, that was it. I didn't look up the number, but when I was talking to someone, they're like, have you looked up 262? And I'm like, no. Well, if you go look up 262, it is such a powerful spiritual number. You're right on path. You're listening to your intuition, all this stuff. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And I did not pick 22 summits either. I went from 2023 International Women's Day. And because the message told me I had to, the message I got, Deb, you need to get women to respect International Women's Day the way a mom does Mother's Day. I said, I'll just do summits right up to the day before Mother's Day. Well, let me tell you, International Women's Day to International Women's Day, and then 8 weeks, and the number is eight, right? The 8 weeks between International Women's Day and Mother's Day. And I filled that in. And when I counted back, it was 22. I'm like, holy freaking cow, people. So I didn't even, I didn't, you know, in my all spiritual wisdom, it wasn't really me.
But you paid attention, and sometimes people get ideas or, you know, things come across the screen of their consciousness and they don't pay attention and then later wish that they had of, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's very powerful to have the backstory of how you developed this movement that's been going on for over a year. I mean, it's mm-hmm. incredible. Mm-hmm. By the end of it, it'll be over a year, right?
Oh, yeah. So March 2023 was our first summit. We don't finish to May 2024, which is 15 months. And we had already been in the book project for over a year. So it really, I'm telling you, it's pretty well a 3-year project from beginning to first book signing June 6th in Vancouver. It's probably 3 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remarkable.
Some days it feels like 3 weeks. Some days it feels like 30 years. Oh, I don't goodness. Know. I don't know. You know what, Rhonda? I think I've told you this before, but my next book is going to be hashtag God pick on somebody else.
You're listening to Courting Your Soul with Rhonda Grant, whose podcast has been treated with digital audio health by my sponsor, Symetrex. And today we have the wonderful Deborah Drummond here with us, and she's going to let you know how to reach out to her, because if I know Deb, there might be another speaking spot available if you want to actually take part, still take part in the 262. The floor is yours, my dear.
Oh my goodness. Well, I would love to have anyone out there that's going, maybe me, maybe me. I mean, we have two platforms. We believe in print and speaking, and we love in putting those together. So even though the book 262 is in print, and we are going to be so proud to bring that to you on May 11th, we have speaking because the movement has continued. And so we do have some speaking spots still available, and we have a few speaking spots now, what we call speaker shout outs, but we're going into full speaker for August and onward. And so we have a place for you, as well as if you like print, we have a beautiful quote. If you have a quote inside you, we can put a quote in print for you, for your planner, so that you have some speaking and some print. And reach out to me. I'm really easy to find. It's deb@debdrummond.com. I also have a website called debdrummond.com. You can contact Rhonda through the show, please, and she can put us in touch, absolutely. And please, when you reach out to me, let me know that you are a friend of Rhonda's, and we'll make sure that, you know, everybody gets treated special, but we'll make sure that we throw a cherry on that Sunday for you.
Thank you very much. So what I'd like to ask you now is, do you feel, and I'm pretty sure I know, but do you feel that you've been called, crafted, your mission, or a bit of both?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I don't think even with all my 30 years of top performance training, would I just sat down at a boardroom and said, let's map this out, shall we? Let's just see, let's just really map all of this out. I mean, it started as a book with no summits. And then, you know, I got that download as I was sitting there working late at night on my couch. And then it turned into summits. And then it turned into being televised. And then it turned into, and now the movement is so beyond us that we now are moving forward, you know, publicly, the private groups, you know, that we have and public. And so it has its own life. And I guess at every stage, I could say no, but it has definitely been a calling. I don't think people wake up in the morning and kind of do this. And it's not only a calling in the beginning, but it's a stretch and calling all the way through. Like, just, I mean, it has taught me tenacity and resilience of a whole different level. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say that if you listen, you know, if you listen, you still have autonomy. You can still say no. Like, I said no to 262 three times. But here we are. And here we are. So sometimes you can say no, but, you know, eventually it comes around. But, I would definitely say that this was a calling and continues to be a calling.
Mm-hmm. And so just so people know, people are not meeting at a place. It's actually on the internet, and it's through Eventbrite, right? Mm-hmm. But you mentioned there about television. Tell the audience about that so they know about that part of it. You've taken this into so many media outlets that it's really hard for people to get an idea of how really big and inclusive this really is.
Right. So we are going to do it. All the summits are exactly like what we're doing right now. It's on Zoom, easily and accessible. It is a live online. Mm-hmm. So you can come and watch us live online. We then move it from there over to YouTube for 8 more free days for full accessibility. So, you know, people can watch the parts that they missed. Then we take it and put it into the vault. After May 11th's final beautiful summit, we're starting to work on them now. They get edited. So all the ums and ums come out, you know, and then they go to a TV streaming channel where they will be turned into episodes. And we will have 22 episodes of a variety of time because, you know, the subjects are, the times are, they vary. And women can go on there. Women that support women can go on there. And it's, I believe, $8.88 for a month so that they can just get their full download of with all the summits, and they can watch that there. So it is a kind of step by step process. You can come along that journey with us and mm-hmm. continue to be, honestly, it's incredible. And if you have Amazon TV, Apple TV, Roku, or Hulu, you'll be able to download our app, and we will release that information on, like, we have a public Facebook page. We have a public Instagram page. You can reach out to Rhonda. You can reach out to myself. You can get onto our email list where we'll let everyone know. Rhonda will be announcing to you when she's on TV, and you'll get to hear all that good information. But that's what it is. And it sounds really big and all complicated, but you don't need to worry about that. That's our job to worry about that. There's learning curves all around. But for you, you're just going to be able to put on your TV and you're going to be able to watch some of the most incredible women of consideration, you know, stepping up.
Beautiful. Thank you. What extraordinary discovery have you found in your life?
From this project?
In your whole life.
In my whole life.
In your whole life.
Wow. What have I discovered? What magical have I discovered? I think, well, one thing is that I feel what's put in front of me, like who's put in front of me, what's put in front of me. I almost have an obligation. Like, I just feel like I have a global obligation. But I have it on a person-to-person business. Like if someone said to me, what is your, like, you know, where does the universe want you, or God want you, or spirit want you, or whatever? This is the only way I can explain it, is I feel like I've been given the brain of a general, but honestly, where God wants me is on the front line. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm out there making that mark and making that difference and carving path. But I think like a general, that's the only way I can say it. It has been a journey. It has been like, I felt the calling when I was 5. I remember standing on the sidewalk, looking at my house, which had some pretty funky, you know, childhood experiences going on. And I remember saying to myself, I want a different life. That's all I remember saying. And it has been a very different life. And, it's been a life of learning to value myself at the same time as feeling like I'm a servant leader. And that's been a hard line to walk. Because as a servant leader, you want to give. Like, you just, I wake up in the morning and I just want to give. And then I have to make sure I monitor my value. I don't know where that came from, if that answers your question, but that's my answer.
That's incredible. That is just incredible. Thank you very much. That's pretty incredible. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about that I haven't asked you?
No, I just think that, you know, like people say, what are your final messages or what have you? Mm-hmm. I think what I want to tell people is that when you see people making brave attempts, you know, like this is my best at an attempt, you know what I mean? There's two things that I always say. One, I'm a true believer in giving respect to forward. So a lot of times we spend a lot of time on bringing the next generation in and making it easier and laying path. And that's what we do. Don't forget to go find someone that made a difference in your life, whether it was your grade 7 high school teacher, whether it was, you know, a boss that you had in your first job, who was there before you, and just go say thank you, because I believe it's the people that are making changes, and it's the people that are the ones that are the most bruised that sometimes not get forgotten about, but really need to hear the thank yous, right? The people coming in are so thirsty and grateful, but sometimes it's going forward. And we do that in, we talk about women of history. We do these women of history drops. So we remember there was women that made great changes in science, but they weren't allowed to use their name. So their male counterpart got the name for the Nobel Peace Prize and things like that. Like no one goes, oh, hey, I wonder what Einstein's wife was doing. So just remember the people that have laid path before you, I would say. And the other thing is, don't ever assume that the person that's making path or the person that's doing something that you wish you could hasn't had to overcome things that maybe for you could be unthinkable. Like everybody has the same goblins, and people have had to walk incredible, walk over glass, walk over paths that you would be surprised to know about. So really, truly, we're all the same. Like we're really all the same. And so I would just say, remember that. Remember that as you honor someone or idolize someone. I think about that with how much I respect Gloria Steinem. I listen to her and I watch her and I see her path and I just have so much respect for her. But, you know, she is the same. We are one of the same. I don't know if people understand what I'm trying to say, but
it's a wonderful guidance for sure. And one of the things that I started to think about is who are the most significant women who's made a difference in my life? Mm-hmm. And when you start thinking about things like that, and what did they contribute to your walk? Like when you look back over your life, and I think that we're so busy today in our brain, what's next, what's next, what's next? And we forget to take a look back and have a review of our lives to help us move forward. And what I do know is that, Deborah, you are all inclusive, you know, with your whole project. And the reason I say that is because, you know, curating this massive movement of women stepping into themselves at whatever level they are in their life and their abilities. And still, when people talk to you one-on-one, you're so personable. And you wouldn't think, like, you're so unassuming, right? And I think that is a gift to do something as great as you're doing and still have the humbleness and the tenderness for the individual people that are in the whole project. I think that's just wonderful.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's not, you know, I just really appreciate that. I mean, I have a story, you know, I know what it's like to not have, I know what it's like to have, I know what it's like to get my cousin's hand-me-down clothes because we couldn't afford. I know what it's like to go through experiences where you're completely wiped out. I know what it's like to have to build. I know what it's like to have your back against the wall. I know what it's like to cry. I know what it's like to take on a project, you know, of this and other projects I've taken on and not knowing, you know, the next month where it's going to come from. I know what it's like to write checks to pay bills and not know how it's going to end up in the account. Like I know all of that. So I appreciate that. And I just said that to my son yesterday as he's building this business and he's getting celebrity acknowledgement. And, you know, he's going to be designing, some clothing for someone who's going to be at Prince Albert's World Polo Match. And I said, no matter what happens in our life, we remember and you stay humble. And I teach it. And I think that was probably something that I got. My mom's door was always open. My door is always open. I had a girlfriend call me. She's like, I'm landing from Sweden. I've got a situation going on. I'm showing up. I'm like, okay. Like, that's just who I am. And I hope I've imparted that to my child. But it really doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't. We're all souls. We're all trying to do the best we can.
Yeah, we're all souls. And nobody's competing. Yeah, we're all souls. And we're not competing. We're just doing what we do because we've been called to the position that we're in and to help the people that we've come here to help. Mm-hmm. And the most wonderful thing that I've heard, and I'm not going to be able to quote who said this, but when you can turn and put your hand out to the next person who's coming behind you to hold them up, bring them up and to so that they can self-actualize their mission, you know, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And I think that people and you might want to have a survey of this, is I think that if you look back over your speakers, that I think that a lot of people would attest that this is one of the most significant things that they've probably attended to, been part of, you know, and then it becomes part of our repertoire. And not that we get to boast or whatever about it, but I mean, you know, it lays down a blueprint in every single one of those humans. And if you know of epigenetics or have spoken about it, is we're sending it on to our children, grandchildren, and all of that. What we do will, you know, 100 years from now, women who will have our namesake will be able to stand more, do more, be more, and have more courage, even if you can believe it, than we have today, right? Yeah.
Well, one, absolutely. And two, hurrah, right? Like we have to remember how far we've come. And at the same time, recognize that, yeah, we're all equal. We're all souls. We're all doing our thing. We're all evolving. We're all, you know, waking up each day and moving forward, forgiving ourselves, like trying to dance with what gets delivered. That's the other thing too, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know. So we're trying to deal with what gets delivered. And I think a lot to do with this project as well, as we talk about it, is, you know, we're still in a world where International Women's Day in some countries, you would be thrown in jail if you talked about it in the streets. And so it is important for those of us that have commodity, and that commodity is ability. Like, and that's why this is an accessibility. You'll hear me say accessibility. And that when we make change here, it's felt in other parts of the world. And we're not all in an equal state of equality or rights or accessibility, and we're still moving forward. And sometimes we still experience it, and it's shocking when we experience it in our own homes. I mean, for me, I'm, you know, we're in North America right now, and we feel we have rights. And then, you know, my, you know, you'll go to a bank application or something like this, and they ask, are you a Miss, a Mrs., an MRS, or an MS? And I'm like, not sure what my marital status means, because when it comes to Mr., it's just MR. So, you know, you get graded on those things. If you're divorced, you have a less ranking. And it's like, you're like, what? But I live in Canada and it's 2024. How is this possible? So even the subtleties of having that conversation, and some people right now that are listening to me go, oh my gosh, you're right. They still ask marital status, and we're still ranked by marital status on the back end in analytics. And so we still have to stay cognizant and free willing. So that's my, there you go. There's my soapbox for today.
Beautiful. Well, I knew that we were going to share an awesome time together. And so I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be on my show and talk to women everywhere about stepping up and stepping into their greatness.
Oh, and we're so grateful that you're part of this project, Rhonda. And I'm sure your listeners have come to hear you share. And if they haven't, please do. Please do. Because here's the interesting thing. This is what I love about women. You know, you are a very astute woman in her business and in her own right. You have great posture, and you come on, and it was, and it's like angels sing when you talk. It's like you can hear a pin drop, and everyone's like, oh my God, your story is so incredibly powerful. How you relay it and how you talk about it, it's very poetic, and you are so intuitive, and you're so in touch with both worlds. It's quite unique to be so astute in business and yet so astute of self. It's incredible. So if your audience has not heard you on that kind of platform, they need to come see you in that kind of platform. Really. I don't say that because I'm on your show. I say that because you're really beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Well, so are you.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much, Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Theme song for Courting Your Soul is Sun on the Water, composed and performed by John Park Wheeler.